April is here, and if your windows won't open for fresh air or seal tight to keep out pollen and bugs, then talk to Window Nation. Right now, for every two windows you buy, you'll get two free. There's no limit to how much you can save. Plus, save even more with no interest or payments for 24 months. With proven quality, you'll get affordable windows that meet or beat the national brands. Don't miss out. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule your free in-home estimate.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You're listening to the Go Birds Pod, a radio.com podcast about your beloved birds.
Hey, hello. It is the Go Birds Podcast presented by Parks Sportsbook and Casino. Monday, Elliot, I'm tired today. And I'll tell you what, I came in tired. I've been feeling tired all day. Just one of those days. The Phillies sucked on Sunday.
Yeah.
The Sixers, it's like just opt out of the playoffs. Who cares? But you know what? I turn on the mic, I get you on the phone, and all of a sudden I feel a little bit better. How about that?
Well,
I'd say good to go. Good news. I'm not maybe not 100%, but I'm feeling better.
Well, I got a few exciting things to tell you off the jump.
Oh, so, that's what I'm talking about right there.
All right. So I'll start with the first exciting one. So today we're recording this August 10th. It's a Monday. James, 1 week from now, we will have witnessed a full Eagles training camp practice. And I've already made the executive decision. Emergency pod next Monday. Calling it an emergency pod, even though it's planned.
Don't know it's planned. It's emergency. Yeah. Rephrase, we are not planning to record next Monday.
Correct.
Emergency.
We'll talk to you Tuesday. So literally one week. I mean, it's crazy. I feel like so
that is crazy.
This offseason, it's kind of felt like football was coming back a little. You know, like maybe it really hasn't. But when they showed up a few weeks ago, it was like, all right, training camp's beginning. And then it was maybe one of the deadest periods of my career in terms of like content of what's going on. Like nothing has been happening. So 1 week from today, I'm super pumped. And James, do you know how pumped I am? Today, the Eagles released a 59-second video with clips of rookies practicing. I wrote an article with 8 observations off of it. So
yeah, that you are the target audience for that video.
Yeah, I am ready to go. Let me say, Jalen Reagor, I was not big on number 18 initially. I like it. I've seen him.
That's a big change right there.
Yeah, I like it. Sean Bradley, number 54, looked great. I feel like he's going to make a Pro Bowl based simply off that.
Temple. He is.
Temple mid. And perhaps the most important thing to take away from the clip, I saw Quez Watkins, John Hightower, and Jalen Reagor catch all 4 of the passes thrown their way. I had Jalen Hurts as 2 for 2 in the video. So the rookie class is looking very strong to start. So
you're saying Super Bowl is what you're trying to say?
Essentially, I'm saying all the worry about the receivers is obviously overblown. So, you know, so it was just exciting to see it. And, you know, in all seriousness, the one takeaway I did have from the video, and again, was 59 seconds, the team edited it, but it felt like football. Like, we haven't seen the team do anything since January. Like, they have not practiced. We haven't even seen any of them like in jerseys, right? So you kind of wondered what's it going to look like in the COVID world. Are they going to be able to tackle each other? How close together are they going to be? And I'll tell you, even just like the way the sun was hitting the NovaCare fields, like I could smell training camp from watching it.
Oh, look at this.
It looked so much like football. Like the drills all looked the same. Yeah, you know what? Like David Phipp had a mask on in the background. And I'm happy that they're doing those things because it's going to help football continue. But it really, really looked like football. So I am so pumped for a week from now. I'm like ready to have observations. I'm ready to track the stats. Like football is right here. I can literally smell it. So I know you're a little tired and you're going to get more excited as we go, but man, I'm just like so pumped for the start of this.
Look at this. Your excitement is infectious, Elliot. This is good. Yeah. And look,
Go ahead.
I'm sure you're not the only one. I'm sure there are a lot of people who are really ready to get into some football right now.
So we texted about this over the weekend and, you know, obviously Sunday did not go, I think, as all Philly sports fans hoped, right? Like Spencer Howard, I thought looked pretty good, but he ended up, I think his ERA is in the sevens after one start, which isn't ideal. Obviously the Sixers are a disaster right now, but I was texting with you on Sunday. I felt like maybe it was a combination of knowing the Eagles were coming, having all three teams play, the Flyers won Saturday night. Like it does feel like sports are really back now. Like this was the first time where sports felt like normal and it was like, okay, we're back in the swing of things with sports.
Yeah, well, especially, you know, the Phillies play for a weekend and then they're off for a week. It kind of stunted that feeling. Yeah. I'm so with you. It feels real. Thank goodness for the Flyers, we'll say that. And look, to the point of the video the Eagles put out, obviously they always do a great job with that type of stuff, but also it's actually kind of relevant to what we're going to be talking about today. We'll get to that in a second, but let's dive into some Eagles news. Just a couple pieces of news since we last recorded. We kind of touched on one of them during the Saturday radio show, but quickly, before we get to how that video makes sense about what we're talking about today, thoughts on the Vinnie Curry signing first, and then one other piece of news we'll get into.
So let me ask you this. If I had to ask you, how many sacks do you think, how many more sacks did Vinnie Curry have than Fletcher Cox last year? A, how depressed would that question make you? And B,
it's already depressed. Yeah, I hate it.
And B, what would your answer be?
I think I know that Vinnie had 5 sacks last year. Is that correct? I think that's the number he had. Okay, so then I remember that Cox was low. I think I want to say 3.5. So I'm not 100% sure, but I'd say 1.5 more.
Yeah, you're dead on. And look, I don't think that means Vinnie Curry had a better year than Fletcher Cox, but Vinnie Curry was a good signing by Howie Roseman last year. Now, a lot of his sacks came at the end of the year. I think he was somewhat inconsistent, but as your third or fourth defensive end, Vinnie Curry is fine. I'm fine with that. I think the defensive end position needed some help. I don't think we've talked about it throughout the last few pods. The defensive end position is a concern. That being said, we also talked this offseason about how the Eagles want to get younger and about how it's been a priority for them this offseason. And we'll obviously get into that with, you know, where ESPN ranked them among young talent on the roster. But Vinnie Curry is going to make the team. Like, Vinnie Curry will not be released. So now you look at the defensive end position, and it's Brandon Graham, obviously, Derek Barnett, Vinnie Curry, Josh Sweat. Like, those four guys are making it. I think Jannard Avery is making the team. He would have to have a disastrous training camp. So when you look at those 5 guys, like, they're not going to keep 6 defensive ends. So this means Sharif Miller is almost certainly not making it. Casey Tuhill, the 7th-round pick, is not making it. Joe Osman's not making it. Like, the younger guys that you kind of prioritize getting snaps are not going to even be on the roster. And also, I think Vinnie Curry could cut into Derek Barnett's snaps, because if you have a competent backup defensive end, you're more willing to, you know, take Barnett out. And it's not the end of the world. Like, the Eagles have done a good job of shuffling their defensive ends. But why is a 31, 32-year-old Vinnie Curry taking snaps from guys in their young 20s when the message all offseason was, we need to get these young guys snaps?
It's a great question, Elliot. And it kind of goes to, you know, what is this team this year? You know, what are they trying to accomplish? What are their goals? All that type of stuff. And, you know, you can't do both things. You either need to commit to playing young guys and finding out what you have, or to trying to make winning football games the first priority. And I think Vinnie Curry is better than what they have right now. I think he makes the team better, so I can't say I hate the move. But it does raise a lot of questions, especially when we're talking about a position as important as defensive end towards the future of your football team. When you have like real, I mean, if Derek Barnett doesn't bust out, so to speak, I mean, that's a real weakness. Talking about long-term talent, and obviously we'll dive more into that in a minute. But
well, we've talked about Yannick this offseason, right? Like that was that was why you go and you pay for Yannick. But look, here's three signings that I went and I looked at the roster. All three of these players are on one-year deals that I think there is either a pretty good chance they're not back in 2020, or at very least, I'd be surprised if they're back. So Vinnie Curry, 32 years old, he'll be getting snaps over Sharif Miller and Josh Sweat. Both of them are 23. I don't know if either of them are good. I think Josh Sweat could give you what Vinnie Curry will, honestly. But so that's 9 years difference right there. Jason Peters, 38, going to be starting and playing over Matt Pryor, who's 25. Nicole Roby Coleman, not super old, 28 years old, but he's playing over Craven LeBlanc, who's 26. There's a good chance none of those guys are back in 2021. And now you haven't gotten Sharif Miller any snaps. Josh Sweat was going to get limited snaps. Matt Pryor, if everything goes right, won't play a snap this year. Craven, look, it might be a competition, but I think Roby Coleman's going to start over him. Like, he would have to really struggle for Craven to win it. So these are all young players that we thought were going to be getting snaps that are not going to be getting it anymore. Getting them anymore.
And look, I mean, this is important stuff, and we'll get to it in a sec in bigger detail because we're about to talk some Howie Roseman heavily. But quickly, before we get there, I think an unexpected thing, and look, I don't think this is making or breaking the Eagles, but linebacker is a weak position, and Jadavis Brown just decided to retire. Well, what do you what did you think of that when you heard it? Kind of a surprise.
So a little like behind the scenes, or what do they call like behind the scenes
inside baseball?
Inside baseball. Okay, that's the saying. So normally when the Eagles make a roster move, how it works is that there's a mass text that goes out to all the media members from the Eagles PR staff. They'll do it like for press conferences and stuff, or once a roster move becomes official. So 9 out of 10 times when the Eagles make a roster move, that's why you see all the beats texted at the same time. So you get a text message. So I'm sitting at home. If I'm not mistaken, it was Sunday, right? Like I'm relaxing, and I'm just scrolling through Twitter, and I see from the Eagles account that Jadavis Brown retired. And I swear on my life, I almost like texted like people in the organization and asked if their account had been hacked. Like I was like, was this a mistake? Like maybe do you guys have like text ready to go for all types of scenarios, and someone hit the wrong button? Like that was my initial reaction. I mean, It makes no sense on the surface because he's only 26 years old. He just signed with the team. In theory, I don't think he was a lock to make the roster. In fact, I went back and looked, not even have him on my 53-man roster. So he might have not made the team, but he was a priority free agent signing. They signed him within the first week, and you would think at least this was going to be a real chance for him to compete for playing time. So I was very surprised. But then you dig deeper into it, and you know, I think because of the COVID opt-outs, the story is not talked about as much anymore, but players retiring from football young is becoming more of a thing. Now, Jadavis has not made life-changing amounts of money. Like, he's made more money in a short amount of time than a lot of people will in their life, but he's not made life-changing amount of money. He's going to have to continue to work. So, I'm surprised. We haven't got a chance to speak to him. From what I've been told, he just didn't want to play football. Like, it's kind of simple. It's just, you know, some people just quit jobs because they don't want to do it anymore. And it sounds like that's essentially what he did. So weird, surprising. Does it matter? No. But like, it was definitely surprising.
Unexpected. And again, I think it's one of those things where I bet you there's a large percentage of Eagles fans who, when they saw that news, said, "Who the hell is Jadavis Brown?"
Yeah, that was
so,
all my.
I don't think it's a, you know, that big a deal for the Eagles, but yeah, it's surprising. And I do think that that is a clear trend across football, particularly with guys who have been able to make money earlier. You know, Luke Kuechly, a recent example, we've seen that a fair amount, but yeah, it caught me off guard. But regardless, look, Jadavis Brown was not making or breaking this linebacking core, I don't think, one way or the other.
Well, like the X's and O's part of it, if you want to dig into it. I mean, they did sign him for a reason. And this is also another linebacker. Now, he retired, so it's a little different. But if you look at their recent stretches, I mean, Corey Nelson in 2017, I guess it would have been, 2017, 2018, they signed him from the Broncos. He gets cut in training camp. LJ Fort, he was cut. He's been playing really well in Baltimore. Zach Brown was signed last year. Everyone thought, like, Howie season, what a great move. I was even on that train. He ends up being a disaster. And now Jatavis Brown doesn't even make it to training camp before he retires. So the linebacker core signings have not been great recently. From an X's and O's standpoint, I think they wanted him because of his speed. In terms of coverage, not a great tackler, but he is quick. So when you look at how this impacts things, I still think Nate Gary and TJ Edwards are your top two linebackers. Nate as your coverage guy, TJ as your run guy. They'll get the majority of the snaps. I think he would have competed. Jatavis would have competed with Davion Taylor, the third round pick out of Colorado, for coverage snaps, because Davion is one of the best athletes at linebacker to come out of the draft. He did a lot of man coverage at Colorado, covering tight ends and running backs. But he's raw. He's only played 2 years of like real football at a high level. So you probably would have, in an ideal world, Jatavis Brown comes in, plays well in training camp, and you're able to develop Davion until you're able to play Jatavis until Davion's ready. Now I think you could see Davion play a little quicker. The Eagles keep saying Sean Bradley's fast. I don't know if that's true, as much as I love the fact he wears number 54. But I just don't know if that's true. So I don't know if this impacts him as much. I think you still see Sean Bradley in running downs, but this does put more added pressure on Davion Taylor potentially to get on the field quicker.
Way too much info on Jatavis Brown. And I,
there you go. Yeah, that was,
I appreciate
that
it.
Was,
all right. Yeah. Let's get into, yeah, I like it though. It's good. Yeah. It's good. Let's get into what matters. As today, we're going to kind of, I think, maybe put Howie Roseman on trial a little bit, for lack of a better phrase. The ESPN youth rankings came out today, and they basically look at every roster in the NFL and decide, only looking at the players 25 and younger, and rank the 25 and younger talent on each team in the league. And I think probably unsurprisingly, we've talked a lot on this podcast, on WIP, just as Eagles fans, about the fact that there's not a lot of really young talent, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, that you feel great about, or you're like, that's a no-doubter. I mean, we got Miles Sanders, Dallas Goedert, there are a couple guys, but for the most part, it's not a wealth of young talent that you feel like, or we feel like, are no doubt about it. And as a result, the Eagles come in 29th out of 32 teams. No blue chip players, according to ESPN. Avante Maddox and Sidney Jones, they said, excelled in roles last season. That seems like a touch of a stretch there, For what it's worth, the Cowboys were at 24th, so just slightly ahead of the Eagles, not as far as I think a lot of people might have thought. What do you think of this ranking? And then we'll kind of dive into the Howie's role in it, because, I mean, Howie's responsible for providing young talent on the team, and he said this offseason, such an important thing. So far, you know, they've not done a great job.
I had a lot of takeaways from this. I was not surprised that they came in very low. I was surprised they had no blue chip players. I mean, Miles Sanders is 23. If he's not considered an elite young player, I don't really know who is. Maybe I'm overrating Miles Sanders, because it seems like I'm yelling to myself sometimes in terms of the fact that, what are we all missing with him? He had 1,300 yards last year. He looks explosive. He's very good blocking. He can catch the ball. And you can make the argument, outside of Christian McCaffrey, I mean, he maybe not like top three receiving running back, but he was up there. Like, he made a lot of plays down the field, dangerous. So I don't know what I'm seeing with Miles Sanders that other people aren't. And I know you're on the same, you're on the bandwagon as well with that, in terms of him getting over that 1,300 yards, and we think closer to 1,800. So I was really surprised that Miles Sanders was not on there. The other thing, like, as you mentioned, that caught my eye was, like, they listed the play of Avante Maddox and Sidney Jones as positives when making this list. I mean, you know, like, Sidney Jones, look, I'm still a believer. I've changed my opinion. I used to not be a believer. Now I am. But he played, like, you know, what, four really good snaps last year? So it's hard for me to say that.
It's hard for anybody to say.
Yeah. And Avante Maddox, look, we're going to label a lot of these players and draft pick hits or misses. Last year when I did something similar, I had Avante Maddox labeled as a hit. And I think he probably still is. He's a fourth round pick. He's given them quality snaps. He's versatile. But I thought he did not have a great year last year. Like, I'm not as high on Avante Maddox as I was last year. So that was a weird thing to me. Now, my other takeaways I had were, Carson Wentz, like, when you think about young talent on the Eagles, I think we would probably instinctually still say Carson Wentz. When this season ends, like, and I think his birthday is December 30th or around there, he'll be 28 years old. Like, that's not young. I mean, he's entering his fifth year. He had a back injury, a torn ACL. So I don't know. Does he still count as a young player? Like, in your mind?
Like, not in the classic sense of young. I think he's starting to head into to not being a quote-unquote young player. But for quarterbacks, and granted, he, you know, you need him to prove that he can age gracefully. But right. I think quarterbacks obviously have a longer shelf life. So I think you could say he's a younger player. But, yeah, I think, you know, once you turn 28 and you've been in the league for 6 years, 5 years, whatever, I mean, you're not – you're definitely a veteran. But I still think there's the potential for a lot of great years ahead for Wentz. But, yeah, I think it's a fair point. I wouldn't say he's a young player anymore.
I mean, he's – I think he's supposed to be in his prime. Like, this is where I think you want the best of Carson. And clearly – you hope you get the best of Carson for 10 years, and he's playing when he's 48, like Tom Brady is, or however old Tom Brady. Tom Brady's not 48. I missed.
He's 43, Elliot. 43,
okay, yeah. All right, I was going to say 48 sounds really old.
Jesus.
Well, I was thinking, I mean, Jason Peters is 38, and I knew he was older.
Yeah,
but
very different.
Very different. I mean, that would be 21 years older than Carson. Yeah. But, the other thing that's important to remember about this list is they picked a cutoff of 25 years. I don't know if that's the right cutoff to pick. I could see why it is, just because I think most players in the league 3 years at that point. So Dallas Goedert did not make the list because he is 25. He is not, you know, like 24. You have to be younger than 25.
See, I thought it was 25 and younger. Okay.
I don't believe so. I mean, they didn't have Goedert, and
well, yeah, they would have if he were under.
I would think
sure.
They would have. Although, I mean, Goedert, I guess, still has to prove that he could do it on a full-time basis. He is still a backup. So I could see, I mean, look, I don't think if they included Goedert, the Eagles would have jumped to like 23, but I would at least think he would be on there. They had like an interesting list of guys that just missed the cut. I think they called him just graduated. They had like Greg Ward, Boston Scott. I mean, the main takeaway is this Eagles team does not have good young talent. They just don't. Like, it's Miles Sanders, maybe Goedert, and that's it. And well, obviously, we don't know what Jalen Reagor will be. I don't think you can include rookies yet, just because we have no idea what they're going to be. But yeah, I mean, the youth on this roster is not in a good spot. I mean, if we, who would you say the best young players are? I guess.
Well, I think you nailed it. It's Miles Sanders and Dallas Goedert. And if you want to put Wentz in there, you can put Wentz. What's Hargrave's 27, I believe, or something like that. I mean, he's the type of guy. Yeah. But again, this is something we've talked about, man. I mean, how many times have we said on this very podcast, particularly talking about the defense, find me a young defensive player you believe in on this team? There aren't any. There are none. Zero. You know what I mean? It's just what it is.
Yeah. Like, I mean, Kayvon Wallace, if you, yeah.
Who
like,
knows? Like you just said, yeah. Rookies.
If you really
want to
stretch,
about
if you
him.
Really want to stretch, maybe Jalen Mills, but I think that's definitely a stretch.
No,
and I'd go
come
in
on.
Minority.
No,
I don't know. And I mean, again, we talked about this last pod. I'm kind of in on being a safety.
I know. But regardless, I mean, we're talking about guys you can that you could build your team around, guys who are core members of being a great team in the NFL. They don't have young talent. And I think that's why, you know, we need to talk about Howie Roseman, because and look, Howie has clearly recognized it. He talked about the importance of getting young, of getting younger talent. They had all those draft picks. He didn't want to trade them to move up in the draft, all that type of stuff, a surplus of young talent. We just don't know and really don't expect that he made the right draft picks, right? I mean, that's the issue. Right. And then when you look at the free agent moves, let's dive into this. I mean, let's go through the moves. And obviously, let's start in 2018, because I think everyone
post
on the planet would agree that Howie Roseman had a perfect offseason 2017. And look, I don't think that's thrown out the window. I know there are a lot of people who say you have to completely move on for the Super Bowl. Like, it's time to certainly turn the page, but at the same time, like, Howie still gets credit for that. Howie still gets credit for making some good moves. But I do think we have to talk about the job he's done in the last 3 years.
Yeah, I agree. Let me ask you a quick question before we get into it. First of all, I'm very excited. I love going over things move by move. I enjoy doing it. So I'm very pumped to talk about all the moves he's going to make. But I noticed something you said, and I'm curious how you would relate this. So you said 2017 was great. Absolutely. But you said it's time to move on. I'm just curious how you view that in relation to Carson. Not to bring it back to Carson,
well,
but I feel like when we talk about Carson
again,
2017.
I think, I mean, Okay. Well, you got to stop bringing it to Carson here.
Well, okay. Well, he's the most important player on the team.
But look, you know how I feel. I think the last four games we saw of him was as good as 2017. I think that Carson Wentz is a star, and also it's very different, whereas Howie Roseman is not hampered by injuries and lack of off seasons and
that's
stuff.
Fair.
Like, okay. It's all apples to apples with how he moves. Wentz, it's not, and that's the difference in discussion.
I'm not trying to make a point, more as I'm just curious where the lot, like where your mindset is on
that.
Well,
I think Carson was great in 2019, at the end of 2019. So I don't think he, you know, how he has been, how he has struggled since the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to go through these moves. But when I went back today and I looked, like, there is not, I mean, the best move I could come up with is Miles Sanders in the second round. And here I am again hyping up Miles Sanders. But, like, it's hard to find any move Howie's made where you're like, that's a really savvy, under-the-radar move. It just is. Like,
I'm actually shocked in going through the list. I've been more defending Howie Roseman than not prior to this offseason, and now I've started to go the other way. I, as you know, hated the Hurts pick. I've not liked much that he's done. I thought the Slay trade was great. I like Hargrave. I think he's made some nice moves. It's not been all awful, but in terms of what we're talking about here today, the focus, the idea of young talent on this team, Howie Roseman has really not proven that he can draft and develop young talent. Like, he hasn't done it yet. Like, he has not done it with any sort of consistency yet. And I think that, you know, the Andy Reid years and all that, like, I don't look at Howie as the GM of those teams. Like, I know he was. That means nothing to me.
Okay.
That was Andy Reid, in my opinion. I know how he was involved. That was Andy Reid. I'm talking about since Howie has taken over, back, chip gone, the whole thing. This is Howie's show. It's the most it's ever been Howie's show. He is the lone, important, final say voice in the room, so to speak. So I think now we can really look at these 3 years and say, all right, what has Howie done? And the results are not great. Let's dive in, Elliot, because there's a lot to get through.
Do you want to go through? So there's three ways we could do it. We could look at 2018, 2019, or 2020 in full years. Or do you want to go through the draft each of the three years? That's a great question. Then free agency. And then the other categories I had were trades. And there haven't been a ton of those. And I think one of the big areas we're going to have to talk about with Howie is the extensions he's handing out. Well, that's for sure.
Let's start with roster moves and stuff. We'll get to the extensions later. I think the extensions, I don't know if there's a huge conversation about it. He's done a bad job. That's just a fact. And we've talked about it. That's the reason they're in salary cap hell right now. And the whole Howie's a master and stuff, like, it's caught up to him. The Alshon contract, a disaster. Guaranteed Deshaun that year. Not a good decision. I mean, we've seen multiple decisions now where he's kind of, as you always talk about, kicked the can down the road, and it's come back to bite him finally. And you said for a while that it was going to come back to bite him at some point, and it did. But we'll get to that. Let's start with actual moves, the general manager moves. Why don't we – I like the idea of going through – what do you think, year by year?
I think year by year, because I think we can get the context of where they
were at.
That's
exactly what I was thinking. All right, so 2018. This is – obviously, the first year post-Super Bowl as a Super Bowl champion. Let's not forget that. All right.
You know what I was thinking about a few days ago? Because I was thinking about the combine and whether there'll be a combine next year and all that. But, like, this combine after the Super Bowl. So this was – I was in Minnesota. I guess the Super Bowl would have been, what, February, like, 3rd or 4th? So I'm in Minnesota there.
February 4th, Elliot. Come on.
Yeah, February 4th. Yeah.
Come on, Elliot.
Flags always fly, right? Flags fly forever. Yeah, there we go. All right, so I'm in Minnesota for the Super Bowl, obviously. And then, like, 3 weeks later, I see Howie in Indianapolis. And let me tell you, I have never seen anybody walk into a room with more swagger than that guy did. Like,
I'm
like
sure.
Him and Doug.
He was acting like it in the press conferences, too. He's joking around. He's, like, messing with reporters. Yeah, it was like cocksure Howie.
And he's always a little, and I'll use the word smug. I don't mean it in that, like, to come off negatively, but his pressers are always a little, like, jokey and, like, trying to be funny. So the way the combine's set up, it's just like a huge ballroom. And all the coaches and GMs are generally in there, and they walk in and out when they're doing their pressers. They do, like, media off to the side. And so because Eagles traveling media is so big, you always have to get there very early to make sure you get a spot up close. Like, I was not looking at the front door. Everybody walks in, and you could, like, feel when Howie and Doug walked in that, like, the just the way, the aura they had with them, I kid you not, like, they were walking around like they were on cloud nine still. It was pretty crazy. And I always just remember that coming off of it, like, the high that they felt winning off of that Super Bowl. So as we go through Howie's moves, and you just mentioned, it's important we don't forget it, but, like, from where he was then to now, it's just pretty wild. So let's get into
it. Yeah, well, let's dive in, because there, it's, again, it is quite shocking how many bad decisions have been made. Look, we're going to mention every move. There are a few we don't need to discuss. I think we can all agree, as we are now at 2018 free agency, we will start with heading into the 2018 season after the Super Bowl. I think we can all agree. Kamar Aiken, Leroy Reynolds, Matt Jones, Marcus Wheaton, Paul Warlow, Richard Rodgers, you know, Mike Wallace, right, because of injury. Haloti Ngata, Corey Nelson. Can we agree those were all just straight up misses? Like, I don't, there's no argument to be made on them. Ngata, I guess, played some snaps for the team, but, like, I mean, come on.
Well, he was definitely a miss. And the important way to look at these moves too is when they signed Haloti Ngata, it was, what a great signing by Howie, under the radar move. This guy's really good. He'll be a great rotational player. And when you look at that offseason, that was really when the trend of signing older players, like, they did it prior to 2017 and they hit on all of them. But I think when it worked in 2017 into 2018 is when they really started to do it. So Haloti Ngata was a bit of an older guy. Richard Rodgers, I think, was older at that point, not as old, but old. Kamar Aiken was older. Corey Graham was older. Matt Jones was both, I think, not that good, and then also older. Leroy Reynolds, I don't remember how old he was, but he was definitely not, like, young. So that was where that offseason started. And again, you just went down the line. I mean, I counted 13 moves that offseason. Corey Nelson, miss. Haloti Ngata, miss. Mike Wallace, a move that a lot of people were excited about. He gets hurt, but again, like, if you sign older guys, it's gonna happen. Miss. I mean, that offseason was absolutely brutal. Of the 13 moves, I have 11 of them as misses.
Yeah, well, and even then, the hits, you know, we'll get to that in a sec. The one move that I mentioned is trading away Torrey Smith. That was obviously a miss. Daryl Worley was off the team in like a week, so that was a clear miss. The only two moves, and again, these are, and to be fair, look, none of these are monster signings. None of these guys are high-level, you know, type of players, but they're all, if you miss on enough of these, you know, filling out the roster guys, your team's not going to be good enough. Really, the only quote-unquote hits on the list, re-signing Nigel Bradham, and even then, it's a hit, but it's not
I
like
I thought it was a hit. I thought
it was fine. He was good. He wasn't as good as he was in 2017, for
sure. They did pay him a lot of money that offseason.
Like,
right?
I think, or he was, least... 2018, he was somewhat overrated compared to what they gave him and what he was in 2017, but it was fine. I won't say it's a, it's certainly not a miss. And trading for Michael Bennett, giving up a fifth and a seventh, and Matt Tobin. Couldn't remember. Was it Matt Tobin? I think so.
And it was Marcus Johnson, the receiver. Remember?
Marcus Johnson. That was the Marcus Johnson one. Yes, yes. Regardless, I mean, that's a clear hit. And even though Michael Bennett didn't last year, Michael Bennett gave him one good year and was a valuable player for them. I'm fine with that. Clearly, he was someone that, you know, didn't fit, you would say, in the locker room. But I mean, when you look down this list, Elliot, we're talking about a team. And granted, they didn't have as many holes in their mind because they're coming off the Super Bowl and the roster is still theoretically pretty strong. But man, to have an offseason with 13 moves, and we'll get to the draft, 13 moves where one is a definitive hit, and even then it's Michael Bennett, and then one is a hit, like a single, you know?
Right.
And then 11 just straight misses, like unquestionable misses, and granted, you know, Mike Wallace got hurt. Paul Warlow got hurt. And you can't always account for that, but man, not a good offseason.
Here's the concerning part. That was an entire offseason. And it was only two off seasons ago. None of those guys we're talking about are on the team right now.
None. Zero.
An entire offseason didn't.
Zero.
None of them are here. Still here. I also think that you didn't mention this, but I think it's important to bring up. Now, remember that offseason, they ended up moving on from Torrey Smith. They traded him to the Panthers. But prior to the trade, everyone's like, okay, well, they're going to be cutting Torrey Smith because of financial reasons. They ended up missing Torrey Smith. I mean, the receivers have not been good. Torrey Smith played pretty well for Carolina, or at least I'd have to look it up, but he's arguably outplayed probably every receiver the Eagles have had since then, except Alshon. I mean, they've needed receivers. He made the decision to trade away Torrey Smith, sign Mike Wallace, and we're going to talk about the money, but things like that are important because it's easy. We were on the air this past Saturday and someone called in and we're talking about the salary cap situation, and they bring up, you know, well, they'll just make all these moves and get rid of these guys. Well, you have to replace them. Like, trading away Torrey Smith, everyone's like, what a great move. How he recouped an asset. Well, they ended up missing Torrey Smith, and the Mike Wallace signing, yes, due to injury, but it didn't work out. So, yeah, of all the moves they made, I think it's important to bring up that when Howie has found himself having a clear cap space, he's been able to do it so far, but replacing it has been tough.
Yeah, this is a clear, rough offseason. Now, as far as the draft goes of the – and Grant, we don't have the results for this most recent draft, but I think of the drafts, this is probably the best. Granted, not a ton of picks here, but
– Only five.
Only five. And to be fair, also, you know, I don't know how – you know, if we know how he had final say, but we don't know what Joe Douglas did or didn't do. But Joe Douglas was here for this draft. I think you have to include that in the discussion when you talk about it. But – look, this is a solid draft. You make the trade out of the first. You end up getting Dallas Goedert in the second. That's a clear hit as a second-round pick. Avante Maddox in the fourth. I agree with you. I would call that a hit. Now, you know how excited I was for Avante Maddox heading into last season. I thought he was going to be the best cornerback right on the team. That clearly didn't happen. I'm not out on him, but I'm also not nearly as high as I was. Regardless, as a fourth round pick, someone who can play for you at all is a hit more than a miss. Josh Sweat, I would say, is like kind of a hit. I mean, he's a rotational player in the fourth round. That's fine. But you're also not finding some gems here. You know, you're also, none of these guys are, I mean, we hear all the time about third, fourth, fifth round players who bust out and end up being, I mean, Jason Kelsey, a perfect example of a sixth round guy who ends up being a multiple time all pro. Jalen Mills is a seventh rounder. I mean, there are examples of that. And while those are solid players, they're not hitting on those later round diamonds in the rough. And again, the last two picks, Matt Pryor, who knows, but for now, I think is clearly a miss. And Jordan Mailata, you know, it's a seventh rounder, but I would say a miss as well.
Well, all right.
What do you think about this draft? Okay. And how it relates to Howie.
All right, so a lot of takes. First, Matt Pryor, I had him as a miss last year. I'm starting to think that's maybe not fair. Now, granted, they did sign Jason Peters to start over him. So, you know, they can say whatever they want, but it doesn't speak highly of how they feel about Matt Pryor. It just doesn't. Like, I get that you want him to be the Vitae where he can play all types of positions and be a backup, but you had a chance to start him and you elected to bring back Jason Peters. So, you know, I guess it's a miss, but as a six-round pick, I mean,
it's fine. It's a rotational lineman. It's fine. It's whatever. It's neither a hit nor a miss. It's whatever.
Right. What's interesting about the Dallas Goedert pick, and this is getting off on a bit of a tangent, but let me just throw this by you. The pick that they traded at number 32 did end up being Lamar Jackson. And I don't think they would have drafted Lamar. I get your...
They definitely wouldn't have. They would not have.
I get they not. But by the logic of the Jalen Hurts pick, and I get that you had Nick Foles and things were different, but like, I don't know. Like, by the logic of the Jalen Hurts pick of we're a quarterback factory, we're always going to, you know, emphasize the position, all those things, like, in an ideal twisted world, in like an alternate twisted world, do you think there was a world where they should have just taken Lamar? Like, for the people that like the Jalen Hurts pick.
No. Well, look, I mean, you can't say, like, yes, of course, there's no Lamar. If they redraft, Lamar Jackson's the first pick of the draft. So, like, of course, anybody should have taken Lamar Jackson at that point, but not where they were. I mean, it's a different thing this offseason. This is, again, a team that it did not just win the Super Bowl and is going to try and win it back-to-back. They right. were clearly all in going for it. And also, look, you can't kill them because they ended up with Dallas Goedert with the pick that they traded back in. But,
I'm not killing him.
They were never going to take Lamar Jackson there, especially with both Foles and Wentz still here. Like, I get what you're saying, but I didn't like the Hurts pick, so I wouldn't have said they should have done that back then. I hate the whole quarterback factory thing to begin with. So, certainly with high picks. Again, the quarterback factory thing works if you take guys in the fourth and fifth round and develop them into valuable assets. Taking guys with first and second round picks is just using assets where you need help with other young players. When we're talking about a roster that is 29th out of all 32 teams and 25 and younger talent. Like, think about that. Like, we could be looking at this and instead of, you know, taking Jalen Hurts, you had another player who theoretically could be on this list. So my dogs agree.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, your dog agrees. The other thing about the 2018 draft, I mean, maybe Avante is a starter, but none of these guys are clear-cut starters. Like, none of them are unquestioned starters.
Well, I think Dallas, if Ertz weren't here, Dallas Goedert is a starter.
Ertz is here.
But Dallas Goedert is an NFL starting tight end. No question.
Right. Agreed. I agree. He would probably start for I don't know, 25 other teams?
Yeah, like, I would say like 20. Yeah, a lot of teams. So the point is, you have to, you can't, just because Ertz is here doesn't, you know, it's that does matter. Context matters there.
Well, but yeah, but the other context is Dallas Goedert, your first pick in this year, in that year's draft, is probably never going to play more than 50% of the snaps here. Like, and Avante Maddox might start, and if he does start, I don't think anybody's going into next year.
Two tight ends are enough. Like, no, there's enough two tight ends sets in the NFL these days, and especially with the Eagles, where I think it's fine. You have a weapon as a tight end. It's totally fine. Again, he would start for 26 other teams or whatever. Like, no, I strongly disagree with this.
But we've now gone through the 2018 free agency and the 2018 draft looking at Howie. And so you get five draft picks, 12 different signings. None of them are starters.
But like, Dallas Goedert is a starter, man. Like, that's not fair. Like, Dallas Goedert.
But he's not a starter.
Come on, man. Starter this is a word. I don't care who's on the field to start the game. I care about contributions of players. Dallas Goedert is a player I want on my football team. Dallas Goedert is a worthwhile asset on my team. I don't care if Zach Ertz is in front of him or not. Starter means nothing to me in this context. You understand what I'm saying?
And I agree. I agree with that point. But you want to guess? All right, so last year, Goddard played 66% of the snaps. That is higher than I thought, I'll admit. In 2018, he played 48%. So I'm not saying it's a bad pick. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that. I think Goddard is a top 10 tight end. I think he's going to be good in the offense. All those, like, next year, he'll have a bigger role in all those things. But regardless, it's still not a starter. It's not. So
again, disagree. This is semantics. Let's move on. We have a lot to get through. Let's move on. Semantics, disagree. 2018, there were two other moves that were in season. I think one is a clear hit, signing Craven LeBlanc off the scrap heap. That I don't think we need
that
to go
might,
too
that
far
might
into
have
it.
Been his best under the radar move.
It could have been.
That's also a Joe Douglas move, in my opinion.
And it's also, from Chicago and all. But it's also someone who we as fans seem to like a lot more than the Eagles. I mean, we're worried he's not even going to play this year, even make the roster or whatever, you know? So it's we look at it as a hit, but it's not like a big hit. They don't even play him.
But it is a move where he came in the middle of the year, and I mean, Jim Schwartz said
he mattered. Look, he made the interception
in
the playoffs. I agree.
Jim Schwartz said, I don't remember the exact phrasing, but something like, you know, the defense doesn't turn things around if we don't get Craven LeBlanc. And I think that's a bit of hyperbole, but like Craven definitely came in and made an impact. So that's a hit. But the other move he made that in the middle of that season, to me, this is like such a new, like if you want to say Howie 1.0 was before Chip got here, Howie 2.0 is before the Super Bowl. Like Howie 3.0 to me, like this is the quintessential Howie 3.0 move, the trade for Golden Tate. Like, you double down on the 2018 season, which at that point was not going great. You overpay for him. It's a veteran. And he was about to be a free agent. I mean, we clown a lot of general managers because, you know, we've always thought Howie was one of the best, and maybe he still is. We'll decide at the end of the pod. But, like, if Dave Gettleman made that trade, we'd all be laughing. I mean, he ended up signing Tate. But that was a terrible trade in retrospect. And at the time,
was it? I mean, ultimately they gave up a third round pick. They got a playoff touchdown out of him and they got a fourth round pick back. So you're basically trading a third for a fourth, a combo, if you want to say it's at the end of the fourth, whatever. I mean, I agree. Look, ultimately, if I could go back in time, I'd rather have the third round pick than Tate, but I don't think it's a clear miss because of the combo.
It is. I think it is probably maybe the worst move he's made since 2018.
Wow, why? It's so, again, they
was
just
terrible. I know,
but they got
the
a pick back and he made a catch in a playoff game.
Yeah,
like
I know.
The only touchdown.
Yeah, and I think he had another big catch in that game, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he had that like kind of floated ball where it's over his shoulder, made that nice catch. Look, Golden Tate was certainly, considering the player he was and the situation, a disappointment as an Eagle. But I think the actual move itself, just in a vacuum,
well, a third round
wasn't
pick
what I agree. I would take the third round pick, but they did get a comp pick back. I'm just saying, I don't think it's nearly as bad as you're making it out to be.
Okay. Well, I think it's terrible.
I could tell.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't. And also, for what it's worth, all this talk about how the Eagles need to get faster, Golden Tate has his strengths as a player. I mean, speed, at least now, or at least when he was with the Eagles, was not one of them. Like, he was very much a, you know, catch an 8 or 9 yard pass and hope he breaks tackles. I mean, and he did for a lot of his career. Like, this is not anti-Golden Tate the player as much as, and remember when they brought him in, there was a lot of talk about how the coaching staff couldn't figure out, like, you know, how to use him, essentially.
Right, which I blame the Eagles for. Regardless, look, we're going to – again, I'm not saying it's a hit. I'm just saying I don't think it's as bad a miss as you do because they got a comp pick back. Regardless, we could agree to disagree on Golden Tate. I just said it's not a hit, but I just don't – I think you hate it worse than I do. I think it was fine. All right, 2019, moving forward, free agency. Let's blow through a few of these quickly. Orlando Scandrick is a clear miss. Blake Countess, a clear miss. The Alshon contract, we mentioned it before, a disastrous miss.
Disastrous.
Maybe
maybe
his biggest miss here. Zach Brown, you mentioned before, a clear miss. Richard Rodgers, we can stop talking about him. LJ Fort was kind of a double miss. They signed him, let him go. I know they wanted the comp pick. He ends up being a really nice player for Baltimore. So the signing of LJ Fort, I actually think, wasn't a miss. The decision to let him go was actually the miss in that case.
They couldn't utilize him, too.
Although
I think he was pretty good in training camp. They just, I don't know what happened there. That was just
I think they wanted the comp pick. I think Howie got a little carried away with wanting comp picks, and they cared more about the comp pick than the player on the field. And LJ Fort was a guy who could have, you know, actually helped them. Re-signing Ronald Darby, a clear miss there. And then look, you have a couple on the list where, like, signing Malik Jackson was clearly missed because he got hurt. So it's hard to kind of kill Howie for that. Definitely a miss. A couple ones that I think could go either way on. Oh, and re-signing Timmy Jernigan, clearly a miss as well. That didn't work out. But
I mean, Andrew Sandejo.
Well, Andrew Sandejo played for them, and then they got a comp pick for him. So it's like, I don't know. Is that a miss? I hated him as an Eagle. He was my least favorite Eagle. I was happy they cut him. But they got a comp pick for him. So, like, for signing a guy and getting a comp pick, I thought it was meh.
Nah,
whatever.
It's definitely a mess, but go ahead.
Well, you got a fourth-round pick for it, right? I mean.
No, you didn't get a fourth-round pick for
him. I thought it was a fourth-round pick they ended up getting because of the Sandejo thing.
Okay, maybe. But you still, I mean. To your point.
Look, here's the issue. Playing him was the issue. Carry him on the roster and don't play him and get the comp pick is my point.
Well, you signed
they clear. This is another. Yeah. No, but this is another. They cut him before the 10th game. This is another example of how he's saying, I want the comp pick on this guy and I'll use him while I have him and then I'm going to let him go. And that was the plan the whole freaking time. Andrew Sandejo was here for a comp pick. And I get it. I just don't love it. I would say it's a miss too, but at least there's some redeeming value to Sandejo being here is my point. Whereas, you know, a lot of these other moves, there's no other side to it. But again, I agree. We're not arguing. It is a miss.
Okay. Yeah, it's a miss.
And re-signing Darren Strolls was a miss. There are some moves that could be, that I think are definitely hits. I mean, re-signing Jason Kelsey's a hit. Re-signing Rondé McLeod, maybe his best move of this offseason, potentially considering the number that he got Rondé McLeod at.
Well, and signed him last offseason. Remember, so we're talking about the previous offseason. They signed him to a one-year deal last offseason, remember?
Right. Isn't that the one we're talking about?
No. So he re-signed Rodney at the beginning of 2019 to the one-year deal. Remember, I think –
I'm talking about the one-year deal. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, yep, yeah, exactly.
We're not at 2020 yet. We're going to talk about Rodney getting re-signed again for the two-year deal next.
Yep,
but right now I'm talking about the one-year deal for 1 point whatever million was a massive hit is my point.
Yep, my apologies.
No worries. Come on, E. Stick with me here.
I know. I'm trying.
There's a lot to get through here is the point with a lot of names, and a lot of them don't matter. The point is like – I mean, they don't – a lot of them are not debatable is my point.
Well, the other thing too is when we go through this list, a lot of repeats, right? I mean, re-signing the guys same time, multiple times, bringing back guys on one-year deals multiple times. So that's part of the confusing part as well.
Yeah. Well, that's true too. That's why we're getting ourselves confused. The Wentz extension, you know how we do not need to debate that more. I thought it was a great contract at the time when they did it. I thought it was smart. You would have waited at the time to sign him. Ultimately, that is still to be decided, whether that was a hit or a miss. I think it's a hit, but obviously.
Yeah, I have. I'm not deciding.
You have reservations. I think it's a clear hit.
I don't think it's a hit yet, but.
Okay, which is fair. I think it's a hit yet already, but we can agree that there is still something to be written with that one, so to speak. You have an interesting one here. Re-signing Brandon Graham is a hit. It was a pretty hefty contract. Do you still feel that way?
Yeah, I mean, he's been their best pass rusher. He was their best pass rusher last year. I think he projects as their best pass rusher this year, you know, depending on what you get from Fletcher Cox. I think he ended up getting, it was like 3 years, $35 million around there. So, you know, good money for sure. but not cap changing money. Next offseason, they're going to have to figure out what to do. But I think it was a hit. I mean, he played at a high level last year, flat out. So if you get another good year out of him, I think a 2-year deal. Yeah, I think that one was a hit.
I agree with you. And I know there are a lot of people who think he's overpaid. I don't.
I don't think he's overpaid at all.
I think there, but I know, but I mean, there are people who do. There are people who do. I mean, Joe DeCameron being one of them. So it definitely gets said that people did not like that contract. I agree with you, though. I think it was a hit. I think
What do you think about this one, really quick? Sorry to interrupt you again, but trading for Jordan Howard.
I was gonna get there, but I got the all list. Right. Fine. It's all good. Let's do trading for Jordan Howard now. That's fine. I think it's a hit. I know that it didn't work out at the end of the season, but you gave up a 5th-round pick for him, and he gave you over a half a season of real contribution. Obviously, the way it ended with the injury was a bummer, but I think Jordan Howard was a hit considering the price you gave up for him.
Yeah, you gave up almost nothing for him. I think that the cautionary tale with Jordan Howard, though, is like he's kind of been like the example how he's used in terms of everyone freaks out about a position and then, you know, they say, all right, we got time, right? I know the draft is over, but we're always in the process of improving the roster. And when they traded for Jordan Howard, again, good value, you know, played huge in that Green Bay game, played at a high level, but ended up getting hurt. I mean, a lot of these guys do end up getting hurt, which is part of it, but yeah, I would say a hit, but he did not have like a season changing impact like I guess some people maybe thought he was going to. And he didn't completely fill a hole that people thought he was going to.
Yeah, look, it looked like it was going to be a home run, and then he didn't play the last 6 games, and it's like, all right, well, what is this? But I think more hit than not considering what you gave up for him. And look, I think the Isaac Seumalo contract is an automatic hit. I know that he's not a lot of people's favorite, but you got a starting lineman for like $1 million or whatever it is.
For sure.
It's insane. I think that was a great contract. But all right, so there's a lot of moves this offseason. We just went through, I named 17 moves, I believe it is, something like that. There's a lot of moves here. Sum up this offseason for me. We've gone through each one. It seemed more misses than hits, but some hits, particularly on contracts, which is not exactly what we're kind of looking at when we're talking about acquiring and developing young talent. But what do you think about this offseason as a whole?
Well, so we talked about 2018. We said between the draft and the free agency, not a lot of projected starters. So, and we debated Dallas Goedert, but arguably no projected starters or one. When you look at the 2019 free agency class, extended Carson, he would have been here anyway, but regardless, that's a starter. McLeod's a starter, Graham's a starter, Kelsey's a starter, Peter's a starter, Seumalo's a starter. Malik Jackson's a starter. DeSean Jackson's a starter. So a lot of these guys are starters. Now, I get that it's more recent, so of course they will be, but at least that they weren't one-year deals to some of these people. So I think 2019 was a better offseason in a lot of ways. I think some of the moves he made ended up playing better, like Vinny Curry, under the radar type of signing. He played pretty well. Orlando Scandrick ended up being a disaster off the field, but he did have that one really good game against the Jets. So I thought there were some better signings that offseason than there were in 2018. No slam dunks, but I thought 2019 was better than 2018 was.
Yeah, I agree. We forgot to mention DeSean signed and traded for. That so far is a miss. Obviously, there. If DeSean's great this year, maybe.
Well, the miss part of the DeSean thing is they traded nothing for him, but they redid his deal. So then you tied yourselves to him for 2020. So if you would have traded for DeSean and, maybe at least give him a deal where you weren't as tied. I mean, he had no leverage. He wanted to come here. Like Tampa Bay was going to keep him. So I was just surprised that he did that. So that's the missed part of the DeSean, not so much the trade and the player. It's the contract they did with it.
And trading away Michael Bennett. I mean, you have it as a miss. I think it's just a whatever. Michael Bennett was clearly not going to last in the Eagles locker room. No one liked him. And look, he has since retired from the NFL. So, I think that's a whatever type of move. I agree. I think having Michael Bennett was better than the 5th-round pick or 7th-round pick, whatever they got for him, no question. But I don't think that's a big miss. I think it's just kind of a whatever. But I agree, slightly more miss than not. Let's add in the draft here because to get the 2019 kind of picture fully together. And I agree with you that a better offseason, but still, when you look at this offseason and where we started the conversation, like There are now they re-signed some guys, and again, those were guys who are already here. But I don't see Howie going out and getting young players, even yep. you know, 27, 28 type of players who are here for a long period of time. Like none yeah. of them. None of these guys on this list are guys who you feel like, and again, other than the re-signing of Kelsey and stuff like that, who are core parts of this team for the future. And that is another offseason without adding to that, where guys are getting older, guys are kind of moving away and all that. Now, that's why the draft is so important, yet only 5 picks. And when you don't hit on all of them, you're right. finding yourself in another issue. Like Andre Dillard. Look, let's just start by saying Miles Sanders is a massive hit in the second round. We both agree. Yes. We don't need to belabor that. Dillard, JJ in the second round, Sharif Miller in the fourth, Clayton Thorson. I mean, Clayton Thorson, obviously a miss already. He was off the team immediately. Mm-hmm. Sharif Miller, I think we both agree, not going to make the roster, a miss. JJ, for now, is a miss. I'm not, again, ready to say he'll never have any sort of career, but the year he had as a rookie, considering especially the inability to run routes and stuff, I think is a miss for now. Dillard. Where do you stand on Dillard and if it's a miss or not? I know it's still to be written.
Yeah, I think you'd have to put it down as a miss for now. I would go with undecided, but they didn't start him last year. He didn't play well when he got in there. He played so poorly that there were even rumors they would trade him this offseason. They're going to start him this year. I think it's already a make or break year for Dillard. Like, I think Dillard has to come out and show he can play. If he struggles, he'll be on the roster, I guess, in 2021, but I don't think he'll be starting. Like, I don't think Dillard is going to be afforded 20, 25 games to show he can play. I think Dillard has this year to show he can play. And if he struggles, he'll be gone because you cannot have, or he'll be at least not be starting. You cannot have Carson Wentz's left tackle not be playing at a high level. So, even though it's only his second year, first year as a starter, I think the clock is already ticking on Andre Dillard, and that certainly gives it a miss vibe. Look, Sharif Miller in the fourth round, it gets overlooked, but the Eagles needed pass rushers last year. He was not able to get on the field, and now they've signed enough people and traded for enough guys that I don't even think he's going to make the roster this year. Clayton Thorson has kind of become a joke in terms of the fact that they cut him right away. But Sharif Miller was around earlier. He was at a more important position. I mean, the Eagles had Carson Wentz as their starter, and then they also had Sudfeld. They didn't have McCown, but you felt more confident about the quarterback position. Sharif Miller, you knew you needed somebody there. So I think that's going to end up being a pretty big miss as well.
Well, especially when it was someone on draft day, we're all like, what? Yeah. That seems high for him, really? Like, if you're going to reach on those type of guys, I mean, and then they literally give you nothing, and it's apparent immediately that it was a miss. That's bad. I mean, that's bad. And, like, Clayton Thorson, like, that's the thing that's frustrating with the Hurts pick is you tried it a year before and you blew it. Like, that's the right idea. Take a quarterback in the fifth round and develop them, turn them into something. But they miss there, and then they're like, all right, let's use our second round draft pick on just a better talent. Like, I don't know. That bothers me. The fact that when we're talking about an Eagles team that had five draft picks, in back-to-back years, so 10 picks total in 2018 and 2019, and knew they need to get younger, then you come into this year and you take a quarterback for the second straight year after one didn't work out, especially using a second-round pick. That really bothers me. That bothers me. That's using 2 draft picks in 2 years on quarterbacks when you have no young talent on the roster. That's an issue to me. That's an issue to me. And I agree with you on Dillard 100%. Like, especially when, look, whatever they want to say, and look, he's there. I mean, they're going to give him a shot, all that stuff, but whatever they want to say, we definitely know that the Eagles are not super high on Dillard. We know that they are not 100% confident he's the guy, because none of that other stuff would have happened. Rumors don't come from nowhere. You know what I mean? Agreed. Like, it's not like there's nothing attached to that. So I think it's pretty clear that Andre Dillard is absolutely a make-or-break season for him. Not a great draft year. Miles Sanders is a hit, but... And then you look at the
4 misses.
Yeah, and you look at the 2 years together. Again, 10 draft picks. You got 2 guys who you totally believe in. And then 3 other guys who are on the roster, you know, or who will be on the roster. I guess Matt Pryor's on the roster, but you know what I mean? Like, it's not great. It's not great. And it's a big reason why the Eagles are so low in these ESPN rankings.
Well, and before we get into 2020, I think
we still have the 2019 in-season moves too.
Right, and that was a lot of, I mean, we'll get into more of the extensions now, but like the Jannard Avery trade, you gave up a 2021 fourth.
That's a miss. It's a miss.
Well, yeah.
I mean, who knows, but like that, I think it's a miss because what other team was giving up a fourth round pick for Jannard Avery? What other team was giving up a fourth round pick for that guy?
Right. Yeah.
He wasn't even playing in Cleveland. Like, what are we talking about?
Well, look, two pods ago, we set the over under on 2.5 for him and we both took the under. So, you know, like, I think he could maybe turn into a rotational guy. But yeah, it's again a trade that, and also at the time, remember when they traded for him, the pass rush was struggling. So everybody's like, okay, he's going to play. And then they're like, well, we really did it for 2021.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Again, I think that's a move that it's a great point, and I'm happy you bring it up, Elliot, because that's a move that we don't talk about a lot, but like, what were they thinking?
Yeah.
What were they thinking? I mean, there has to be a better use, whether it's just drafting someone or using that fourth round pick to get someone who's a lock to contribute for you. Like, you got to use that fourth round pick more wisely. You just do.
And then, so later in the 2019 season, they extend Brandon Brooks. Now, here's my issue with the Brooks thing. Great player, best guard in the league, arguably, when he's healthy. Like, again, you're doubling down on older people and injuries happen. He's now suffered two major injuries since then, and you're tied to him. So, that's part of the issue with the extensions, too. Like, extending Alshon, extending Lane Johnson.
Well, let's do all the extensions now real quick.
Okay. Because,
I mean, we've kind of talked about them. We have made very clear and agreed that the Alshon one is, you know, maybe his worst ever. And I agree with you. I think the Brooks one, while I love Brandon Brooks, it felt unnecessary in the moment it was done.
The timing.
So, and I feel like we see that a fair amount with Howie, where he thinks he's out in front of things, and sometimes he is, but sometimes he's not.
Yeah, well, and then I think, you know, he always spouts the message of, well, if a guy's a lifelong Eagle, you know, he's not a lifelong Eagle, but we want guys here that are going to be Eagles, right? Like, it felt like the Brandon Brooks thing was an emotional move. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, he had at least one more year left on his deal. You could have played him all through this upcoming season and then just signed him next offseason. It's not like you got him at a discount. They paid him a ton of money. I think he was the highest paid guard in NFL history when they signed him. So why do it then when, if you wait a year, like, first of all, he's a year older. So, you know, his value in that way isn't as high. And also, for what it's worth, I mean, who knows how things play out differently and whatnot. But if you didn't sign him then, he tore his Achilles again. So, like, you know, his value is just not as high. So that one ended up not working out as well. I hope he comes back and plays well, but it's clear that that's going to not, it looks like that's not going to turn out well.
Yeah. I'm not excited about it. Look, the Lane Johnson extension was a good one. You know, other in-season moves, they traded for Duke Riley, whatever, you know, who knows.
Right.
Your boy, Jordan Matthews.
Yeah, don't say it. Just move on. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, all right. So let's take the sum of this and then we'll quickly, you know, 2020, I think we've talked a lot about the moves they made. I think people know
where we
stand on them.
Yeah, it's too early to kind of make decisions.
But it's too early. Ultimately, the big key is going to be how these draft picks pan out. And, you know, and obviously we've talked a ton about it, but in terms of how we started this conversation, young talent, like, they need some of these guys to be good because they're deficient in that. But let's take what we just talked about. We just went through a lot of moves and, you know, obviously some quickly, some a little bit more in detail discussion, but 2018 and 2019, the 2 years after the Super Bowl, Howie Roseman on the top of the world. How would you grade Howie Roseman for these 2 years? Now that we have at least,
right,
I think enough information to feel good about most of whether they're hits or misses.
So when you go through and you look at each move, I had him with 34 misses, 15 hits, and 3 where I don't think you can really decide yet. Now, one of those 3 is Duke Riley, so it's kind of irrelevant, but overall, way more misses. Now, it's important to point out, and I'm sure Eagles fans listening right now are probably like, you know, you guys are just ripping Howie to shreds. So I'm not trying to be overly negative, but so it's important to point out that GMs are not going to have a batting percentage of 70%. Like, you're going to have, in theory, more misses than hits. What's concerning is he has over twice as many misses, and there's just not those long-term players on the roster that you feel you're building around. And that's what makes this draft so important. Like, if Rager doesn't look good, you know, the receiver position's extremely bare. All those things. So definitely way more misses than hits. I think the good thing is, in some ways, you've seen kind of like a organizational change. At least they talk about it, you know, emphasizing speed, emphasizing youth. And we talked about the top of the pod, how maybe that's not completely come to fruition with some of their most recent moves. But, you know, they have shown at least some willingness to do that. Javon Hargrave feels like a 2016 signing in terms of a young guy like Brandon Brooks, Rodney McLeod at the time. So there's no type of things. But yeah.
And look, the Darius Slay trade, with the way the offseason played out and the trade compensations we saw for other, you know, similar level type of players at different positions, that looks like a really good trade. You know, a third and a fifth for Slay, it looks like a really good move. And the contract he signed to looks like a fair contract for who he is. So, like, there were some nice moves this offseason. I think it really, and you hit on it, really, and I think that's why we started the conversation, right, is that Howie's going to have one big issue, like we talked about, is there are not a lot of those, like, Miles Sanders, like, hits that are going to influence the Eagles in a very positive way for years to come. And I think that's the biggest thing missing from these lists. But also, you know, it's just the idea of young talent, you know, across the board. It's restocking this team with young guys who are not even, they don't even have to be like Miles Sanders, guys who we think could make Pro Bowls or whatever. They just need football players. They need guys who you can start every game and feel good about it. There are just so few of those when you go through this list or these lists. You know, they're just really missing on those. And that's why this 2020 draft class is so incredibly important, because they need an infusion of young talent. And, you know, I to your point about people sitting there and, you know, say you're bashing out. Hold on. I'm getting there. Okay. I'm getting there. Elliot, let me do it. I got it. Trust me a little bit. You're all jacked up here.
I got it.
I'm getting there. To the point of where listeners are sitting there and saying, you know, Howie Roseman, you're just killing him and stuff. This list deserves to be killed. I think it is fair to go through and say, and again, that's why I mentioned the top, that I do think that what he did in 2017 still has to matter. Like, we're starting to turn the page, but I'm not forgetting that he had a perfect offseason and made all these great decisions and great moves. But the further we move away from it, the more you have to look at the moves and say, is he doing a good job? And I think over 2018, 2019, you have to say no. You have to say no. Look, so to your point about a grade, you put up a poll on the Go Birds Twitter account, at Go Birds Pod on Twitter, discussing Howie Roseman on the pod today. Since the Super Bowl, what grade would you give him overall? And I voted in the poll, and I see where my little check mark is, and I have him as a C. And honestly, like, I'm closer to DF than I am to B, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Now the poll results are 3% A, 45% B, 47% C, 5% DF. I think he's solidly in the C. I feel very confident, and that is where the majority of voters are, just slightly over B. I think that he has been a C-level GM for the last two seasons. Again, I am hopeful about some of these 2020 moves. I like his free agency moves and trades. Like, I like the Slay trade. I like the Hargrave move. I like that stuff a lot more than I like the draft. But that's a problem, because the draft is what's going to have to sustain you. So I'm after doing this show, after, you know, my verdict on discussing Howie Roseman, the trial that we're doing here today, the faux trial, whatever, is that I come out of this podcast feeling even worse about Howie Roseman when I actually look at each of the moves and how they happen than I did even before we started recording.
So I told you at the top of the pod, I was super excited today. So as you can see, that's why I've been jumping in, and I apologize for that. I'm
having fun with you, buddy.
I know. But I'm saying, like, I'm excited for football. But you're right. Like, when you look at when you go through move by move, I mean, I've said on this pod that as long as Howie, Doug, and Carson are here, like, they're a playoff team. So I do have that faith in him on the surface, but when you go move by move, I think you hit it on the head. And I was thinking about this coming into the pod. So I voted a C as well, but if you told me I had to pick an A or an F, I would pick an F. Like, and
without question, he's nowhere close to an A.
Yeah. And I think if I had to vote again, I would vote a D or an F. Now, that doesn't mean he's not still one of the best GMs in the league, because when you talk about large picture, like, you do have to take that all into consideration. And he's 2 years removed from winning a Super Bowl. So I still think he's a top 10 or 11 GM in the league. And I don't know how many, like, great GMs there are right now, but Howie's been bad the last 2 years. And, you know, when you talk to, you know, Eagles fans, whether it's on air, on Twitter, the perception of him has changed a lot. Like, there's people that really, really think Howie has screwed this up. And I think that shows in the voting. Like, if you would have ran this poll 2 years ago, what percentage would have been A's?
Oh,
I
mean, buddy.
Not 98%. Even after 2018, right? Like, it probably would have been, I don't know, 55, 60% A, majority Bs, like not many Cs or Ds. So things have definitely changed. And as we go into next year and coming off the ESPN poll, it is a concern. It is. Like, if you had to rank Doug Howie and Carson, how would you rank them?
I mean, we've done this before. Howie's last by a mile. I have Doug 1, Carson 2, but it's like razor thin. Like razor thin. Like I would consider Carson's right there with Doug for me. And Howie's like way back, like waving at me, like, hey up guys, wait, don't leave without me. Don't leave without me, guys. I'm right here.
Yeah, his little vote. Yeah, with his little jokes. Yeah. But I think I would probably put Howie last. I think, you know, to some degree, the fact that he's not an athlete that I have to worry about getting hurt, like I still would trust Howie to run my team. Like if I became an owner and, you know, I was going through resumes of the GMs, like Howie would be on my short list. Cause in the thing to remember with Howie is, and this is a bit of like the process Sam Hinkie thing, but if I saw all the information Howie had when he made the moves, I don't think I would disagree with the majority of them. Like I bet I would come to a lot of those same decisions, but the results are the results. Like at the same way where if I'm going to sit here and kill Carson for not winning a playoff game the last 2 years, but you know, then there's context to it. But at the end of the day, the results are still the results. So I think I'm definitely closer to a DF than I am an A and even a B.
And that's bad. I mean, that's,
yeah, it's bad.
And again, look, you get some rope when you win the Super Bowl, when you make the playoffs 3 years in a row, like all that stuff matters. Like, and again, I think we would both agree that I think certainly the last two seasons, Doug is more responsible for them making the playoffs than Howie. But I think that, again, I'm not advocating that Howie Roseman is a disaster and he should be gone or anything like that. I agree with you. I think he's still probably a tough, not even probably, he's definitely a top half GM in football. There's no question, but
definitely.
I think his deficiencies, he's not infallible in the areas we thought he was. We've seen that with the mistakes and the extensions, the cap stuff and all that. And he really needs to do a better job in the areas where he has been deficient. I mean, this 2020 draft class is the most important draft class of Howie's career, in my opinion, in terms of how we look at him, how we all will judge him. Of course, who knows with Jeffrey Lurie? Jeffrey loves Howie. Who knows? I don't know what it would take for Howie to someday be gone at Jeffrey's hand. I would think a lot. Exactly. But I think from a fan perspective, from a, you know, how we view Howie, I think this draft class is the most important of his career because I think that if he misses on another class, if we're sitting here doing this same show next offseason at this time and we're looking at what he did in the and, you know, we still don't know what the new draft is in terms of whether those players will be good or not. And we look back at this draft and say, oh, wow, like, you know, no one, you know, Jalen Reagor, bad year. You know, if Kevon Wallace is the only guy who we think is good at, or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
I think the pressure, and I think the there will be a lot more. We'll do the same poll, and it'll be a lot more CDFs than B, which was the second vote one. Now, like, I think this is an incredibly important offseason and draft for Howie Roseman.
Yeah, and he had 10 draft picks, right? I mean, he's always talked about wanting volume, so he's going to have that. We're going to find out a lot. I mean, even also just with some of the, I mean, the free agency signings, I guess the decision to move Jalen Mills, like there's those type of things. But you're right, the draft is absolutely crucial. It's going to be a weird year because of COVID, as we've talked about. So I don't know how much you'll be able to take from it in terms of like impacting his job. But I agree, like Howie's going to be here for a while. So as opposed to, you know, hoping the Eagles replace him, if you're someone out there that hopes that, you're better off hoping he improves. Because, I mean, they would have to go, I think, 3-13 2 years in a row. Like, it would have to get...
I agree. I 100% agree.
Pretty ugly.
It would have to be... Yeah, it would have to be bad. It would have to be... And they would have to have had a bunch of misses of big picks. Reagor would have to flame out. Yep. JJ would have to continue to flame out. Like, it would have to be pretty clear. I totally agree with you. But I think that we need to start looking at Howie with a finer tooth comb, so to speak. Like I am at the point, and I always wonder when it would be, I am at the point where I am ready to move on from the Super Bowl in terms of how I judge Howie, and it's all fair game now because he hasn't been great.
Well, welcome to that side of the argument.
I know, right?
Welcome to that side. No, but Yeah, I agree with you. And it's just why I'm so pumped to see these guys play in a week, to get, you know, my first look at them, to not just watch a 59-second video, to see how quick Reger looks in person, to see how Jalen Hurts looked, to see Kayvon Wallace. And obviously we'll be seeing the whole roster. Like, so we'll see, you know, we'll see Carson, we'll see all these people. But yeah, I'm really excited to see the rookies. And like I said, man, one week, and I will be watching practices.
1 week. I love it. And we will be here to talk about it. And look, we'll be back on Wednesday. We've already got a really fun idea for Wednesday's show, unless something happens in the news, you know, which diverts us. And I will definitely on Wednesday get into some of the college football stuff when we have more clarity on whether there will be not. I know that's a big thing in the sports world right now. We'll definitely get to that. And Friday, we'll be on the air on WIP on Saturday. You're going to get your fill of us if you want
to
hear.
Yeah. Well, football's definitely back, man. Like, we were going from recording once a week to we dropped 4 pods in your feed last week. And I'm excited. It was fun to go over the divisions and everything. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like I've said it 40 times in this pod, but I'm just.
You're excited.
I'm excited. I won't say it again. Who's the athlete that says it all the time? Man, wasn't there someone? I feel like recently someone did a count with a video. They said it all the time. That's what someone might do with this, and I can't blame them. But
great idea. Okay, at GoBirdsPod on Twitter, let us know. Any enterprising person who wants to take the time. Now, this is a big ask. I wouldn't do it. But if there is someone.
Don't do it.
Literally don't do it. But if there is someone who wants to, let us know how many times Elliot said excited in this podcast.
I got one more question
pretty funny.
For you.
Yeah,
one more question. So obviously everybody should go listen to the High Hopes pod. But we talked about how excited we were for Sunday. I'm just curious what your quick thoughts were on Spencer Howard, because I was pumped to watch him. I sat and I watched the whole thing. I was just curious what you thought.
Yeah, I thought he looked really good. I think that you could see the talents there. Look, it was his first ever major league start. I think the jitters were there. I think you saw that. And ultimately, look, he got beat by two of the best hitters in baseball. I mean, Freddie Freeman and Ronald Acuna are legitimately two of the 15 best hitters in the sport. So, you know, I'm not going to kill him for that. Two great hitters got him. I think for the most part, we saw that the stuff is there. The fastball is heavy and it's hard. You know, the secondary stuff is nasty. So I felt pretty good with it. Again, you know, you want to see him come out and just completely dominate. But I think nerves got to him a little bit. I think he was facing a great lineup, and some veteran hitters or just great hitters were able to take advantage of it. And look, I think there was a little bit more pressure going in game two, going up against Max Fried, who's a freaking ace level pitcher, and knowing that you had lost game one. So I don't think it was the best spot for him, but I think on the whole, I'm significantly more impressed with it than not.
So per eye test, which he definitely passes, I think he's better than Aaron Nola. That's my take.
I
think he's better
coming
than
in hot with the baseball.
Just watch it. Like, just looking at him throw a baseball, like, he's better than Aaron Nola.
Well, look, I think his ceiling is certainly higher than Nola's. I mean, and again, look, to be fair though, Nola was number 3 in Cy Young voting 2 years ago. Like, Aaron Nola's ceiling is clearly quite high. So I don't want to dismiss it. You're not as high on Nola as I am. I still think Nola is a ace level pitcher. He's not like an ace's ace. He's not Scherzer. He's not, you know, those top dudes. But I think he's right there in that next group. And I think Spencer Howard certainly can be in that group or better. I think the sky's the limit for Spencer Howard is what I would say for sure.
Well, it's funny, as I went to sleep Sunday night, like, feeling good about Spencer Howard. And, you know, the Sixers game was exciting, though they lost. And it kind of overlooks the fact that the Phillies, if I'm not mistaken, ended up getting absolutely smoked in both games, right? Like, what was the final score?
It was 5-2 and 8-0. So 13-2 for the day. It was not greaty. Not great.
But
not great. On the flip side, Mets starter Marcus Stroman just opted out, so that's something.
There you go.
He was already hurt. So, but still, don't blame the guy.
Turned into High Hopes all of a sudden. But,
Well, we're baseball guys, ready?
Yeah, we are baseball guys. There's no denying that. So,
you got any final thoughts?
No, not really. I mean, that was a deep dive into Howie, which was fun. Nah, man. I mean, like I said, we have something good coming up for Wednesday, and thanks to everybody who's been listening. I said 4 pods last week. Big numbers. Appreciate it. And I'm excited. That's the last thing I'll say. Feels like appropriate.
I was hoping you would do that. Well, guess what? I too am excited, Elliot. I can't wait for next Monday. That's gonna be awesome to actually have like real Eagles action of any kind to be talking about. So we will definitely be recording after Elliot is seeing them do what they do. That'll be a pod you don't want to miss. But Wednesday, again, we got a fun one coming. Another one Friday. We'll be on the radio on Saturday. So we're here. Hit us up at GoBirdsPod on Twitter for anything and everything. And again, of course, don't forget to download the Parx Sportsbook and Casino app. It's super intuitive, super fun. You've heard us talk about it. We'll talk about it more, but it is a fun way with football around the corner to really get involved and start getting some of those future bets in there, which I'm sure you and I will talk a lot more about coming up. So, until Wednesday, for Elliot, I'm James. Talk to you guys later.